Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Father, what a scene is before us as we contemplate the cross. There's been many sermons preached on this, and really, they really don't touch a hem of the garment of what we will see in glory one day. We really see how much we owe. We pray, Father, though, that you would give us a greater glimpse into this heavenly sight. Lord, we pray that you would help us to know somewhat of what it means to glory in the cross of Christ. We do, as we consider this, we hear of Brother Hobbs, we would ask, Father, that even at this hour that you would be with our brother. He's had a difficult year, and we pray, Father, that you would draw close to him. Even, Father, as he would be in the hospital, may he find comfort as he would glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask now that you'd forgive us of our sins. May Christ be magnified among us, for we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about anticipating partaking of the Lord's Supper, it's appropriate that we consider the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially as we come to terms of what does it mean exactly. Partaking of the Lord's Supper demonstrates, actually, our glorying in the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you all may recall we did a series on the cross of Christ a few years ago. And we dealt with the fact that we know it's not just some trinket, some T-shaped thing. Some trinket that people wear for good luck, or some sign that somebody makes before they get up to the plate and think it's some kind of good luck or some kind of magical thing that they do so they'll get a hit or a home run or whatever they're trying to do. It has nothing to do. Away with that superstition. It has absolutely nothing to do with any of that idolatry. The cross is an upright stake that simply represents and is symbolic of death. As God's people, we glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in Christ's substitutionary sacrifice at Calvary, his vicarious suffering at the cross. We glory in that. Now, what do we mean by glorying in? Well, to glory in something simply means to rejoice in it, to boast in it. That's what it means, to glory. You know, a parent may glory or rejoice in their child being on the honor roll. You see them as bumper stickers, don't you? You know, my child is an honor student at Einstein Elementary, you know, or whatever. They glory in that. And, you know, I can understand that. I can understand rejoicing in your child's success in school. But the world, that's what they do, isn't it? They glory in their cars. They glory in their houses. They glory in all kinds of things. But don't you dare glory in the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's so contrary to the flesh. So contrary to human pride, which is what the world operates on today. It runs on pride, on human pride. It's co-contrary to the world. It says there in Galatians 6:12, just a couple verses up there, kind of speaks on those lines, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They're into the flesh. They're into me. They're into me-isms. And we had an instance with a fellow yesterday. You got to do this or you're never going to be saved. And you know, I'm just like, I understand what you're talking about. That's part of the process of salvation. We went on and on and on, saying the same things and just didn't seem to get through. But, you know, that's God's grace. But the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ takes a me out of the equation of salvation. Amen. Takes it totally. It's not me plus nothing equals salvation. It's not me plus religious works equals salvation. It's not me plus Jesus Christ is my salvation, or even the cross of Jesus Christ is my salvation. It is me. There's no me in it. There's no me in it. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ plus nothing. That is salvation. Amen. That's what Paul was glorying in. And that's what we glory in, as God's children. I talked to that guy, and he could very well have been a saved individual. I told him, he said, you know, when I was a Pentecostal, I would say I believed in grace, but I didn't really understand that my belief system wasn't grace. I thought I could lose my salvation. And I said, I see where you're coming from. I believe that you believe that it's grace, but what you, your belief system is contrary to that. And but anyway, Paul did not glory in his Jewishness. Paul did not glory in his education. Paul did not glory in the revelations that God gave to him. Paul did not glory in the sufferings that he suffered for the cause of Christ. He gloried in the one who suffered for him, for his sins, for the sins of God's elect. Amen. That's what Paul gloried in. Now think about this, the cross. On one side of the cross, we see the darkness and the hatred of the human heart under Satan. And on the other side of that same cross, we see the boundless love of God. You see what I'm saying? You see both those things at the cross. As you look at the cross and what took place there, we see, we take man in all his aspects of religion of the Jews, and then the political and cultured Romans, the chorus soldiers and all their wretchedness exposed there at the cross. Here we have Pilate, who represented the civil government, punishing the well-doer and rewarding the evildoers, bowing to the evildoers. We see the scribes and the Pharisees representing a man-made righteousness according to the law as being unrighteous and false witnesses. We see Peter denied the Lord. We see Judas betraying the Lord. We see the other disciples fleeing from Christ. That's what we see at the cross. We see despicable, worthless, vile sinners at the cross. That's what we see around the cross. But praise be unto God. We find there in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. What happened there? It blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's what Jesus did. I want to look at five things here this afternoon. We'll look at glorying, first of all, in the exceptionality of the cross. Glorying in the exceptionality of the cross. There is something exceptional about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something unique about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There has not been one ever like it before, and there's not going to be another one ever like it in the future. This cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is unique. This sacrifice was not just by a mere man. It wasn't some martyr with a sinful nature or one that could have sinned, but it was a sacrifice of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who did no sin. And could do no sin. It's exceptional because though we are wicked, vile sinners, and we continue over and over and over to break his law, God so loved the world. God so loved such sinners that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, should not suffer the consequences, but have everlasting life. There is no other, there's nothing like that in the world's religions. There's nothing like it. It's unique. It's special. It is absolutely exceptional. No other religion has this kind of portrait of love. Christ speaking in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. He died. He suffered the death of the cross. Lay down his life for his friends. Can you imagine that? He calls us friends. There is something totally exceptional about the cross of the Lord. It is worthy of our glorying in, because it's so exceptional. All other religions depend upon the frailty and the fickleness of man. Our salvation is rested upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the everlasting God. But now, secondly, not only is there to be glorying to be had in the exceptionality of the cross, but there is glorying to be had in the simplicity of the cross. It's so simple that even a child can comprehend it. And yet it's so profound that angels desire to look into it. But they can only look in from the outside. They don't know, like we do, how to personally experience the cross of Jesus Christ. Angels don't know what that's like. But it's so simple. It's so simple. Jesus paid it all. Amen. It's so simple. But human depravity would want to complicate everything. That's the foolishness of, you know, okay, well, no. That's just too simple. We've got to figure out, okay, we got to get some good works, okay? And then we see about the bad works, and we
try to reconcile, get the balance sheet out and everything out like an accountant. Well, first of all, you got to figure out what's good and what's bad. And then you got to figure out, okay, we're talking about not just deeds. We're talking about thoughts. We're talking about motives. Who is sufficient for such things? Only God can do that. So how would I know how to weigh it and all that? It's ridiculous. So simple. Glorying in the simplicity. Jesus paid it all. He took on the sin. He took on the penalty. He paid the price, and it's done. It is finished, he says. Simplicity.
First Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. The world thinks it's foolish. And I'm like, what? You like to complicate things? You like to be contradictory? Doesn't matter. They're bound and enslaved in their sin. But praise God, we can glory in the simplicity of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Luke 18:17, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You know what the entryway into the kingdom of God is? It's through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how. So simple. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not the way, but it's the way. Simple. Glory in that. And then thirdly, glorying in the suitability of the cross. I'm just thinking about, you could spend a whole message on every one of these. But I'm just going to deal with just the whole idea of preaching. In preaching, the suitability of the cross. To preach the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ crucified. It means to preach the true Christ. It means to preach the true Messiah, the true Savior. The gospel, the good news. Look at how suitable that is. But it goes even further. It's suitable in the sense that it's a message that saves sinners. Not just religious sinners, but obstinate sinners. Sinners of every stripe. Quiet sinners, boasting sinners, murderous sinners, all kinds of sinners. It's suitable for all kinds of sinners. Even sinners like the Apostle Paul who went around killing Christians. Suitable. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's suitable. It's a suitable subject to preach on. The cross of Christ in salvation, knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In fellowship, it's a suitable preaching. I mean, it all centers around the cross. There in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We see the holy, sacrificial, holy life is tied into the cross. Glory in that. And then Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. What is Paul doing here? He's using the preaching of the cross of Christ, Christ crucified, as a springboard to deal with heresy. If you're going to deal with heresy and correct heretical doctrine, beginning of the cross is a good place to start at. See how suitable the cross is. And then we see that in Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It all goes to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us glory in that. In the suitability of the cross of Christ. And then fourthly, glorying in the sovereignty of the cross. I love this. There's nothing that can stop it. It's sovereign. Nothing can stop its course of irresistible grace to the chosen of God that were chosen not of works, lest any man should boast. There in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and what? He shall save his people from their sins. Let's look over there in Psalms 110, and we look there in verse 3, Psalms 110 and verse 3, in reference to this, we see, thy people shall be willing, in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The sovereignty of the cross. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then we see, you know, it's for his people. But then lastly, and fifthly, we see the potency. Glorying in the potency of the cross. Look over there in 1 Corinthians 1:18. We touched on this earlier, but for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God, the potency of God, the omnipotence of God. You think about it. Or you just look at your own life. What God has done. Well, no, we're not anything what we want to be. But we sure ain't what we used to be. Because of the power of the cross. We can glory in that. Because we know it's nothing we did. He changed us. He gave us a new heart. He made us new creatures in Christ. He born us again. That's the power. That's the potency of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that evident not only in our own individual lives, but we see it all over the world. All over the world. And the thing that makes it so amazing is it's all over the world in spite of people hating it, in spite of being persecuted. That's the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You look all over the world, the power and the potency of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is evident all over the world. From the Jews who looked to the sacrificial, substitutionary Lamb of God before He came, to the Gentiles who looked to the Lamb of God crucified and risen, and again, out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. That's the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The potency of the cross is seen all, not only everywhere, but it's seen all through time. From the picture that we see in the Garden maybe of Eden, where an animal slain for Adam and Eve, and they wore the skins. And that picture of what would take place there at Calvary. Down through time, through the Old Testament sacrifices, through the New Testament, through the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages didn't stop the potency of the cross of Christ. The tyrants can't stop it. Oppressive governments can't stop it. The Romanian government. And talking to Brother Pugh the other day, how Raul's dad was a believer, and how that God's word was being preserved and God's truth is being proclaimed even in a communist government, and we see it thriving today. That is the power and the potency of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory in that. Oppressive governments can't stop it. Postmodern world can't stop it. And won't stop it. And can't stop it. We can glory in that. Paul says it so well under the Spirit's inspiration in Romans chapter 8. You all know, but I just got to read it. In verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, what better demonstrates the love of Christ than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and His death for our sins? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through Him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We got something to celebrate, beloved. We got something to glory in. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What He did for us. That God, the Son, being found in fashion of a man, and humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And having made peace, there in Colossians 1:20, through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, glorying in the potency of the cross. How does that manifested in our life? You know, it says there in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, He said unto them all, if any man will come after Me. I love that song we sang, Follow, Follow, because it goes right along with this right here. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. When we're glorying in the cross, we're following in the footsteps of our Savior. We're taking up our cross. We're denying ourselves like He denied Himself. We're going on the same path He's going. We're going to the cross of Christ, and we're going to the Christ of glory. We might be novices and no counts in every other subject out there, but let us not be when it comes to glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. We don't want to give one nanosecond, one mini millimeter upon the glory of the cross of Christ. There it says in Philippians 3:18, Paul said to the Philippian church, "For many walk, of whom I have I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." You know, it'll keep you from being deceived in that regard. Keep glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget to do that. It didn't matter that the Pharisees mocked, said he saved others, himself he cannot save. Look at the moral, just the moral perfection of Christ, and how that, how complete and how perfect his consecration, surrender to will of the Father. On the cross, he had all the powers of darkness against himself. He found no comfort on any side. When he looked to the Father, there was nothing but silence. God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son, in which Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet Christ endured the cross and despised the shame. That's who we look to. That's who we glory in. His love was stronger than death. It says there in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. You want a taste of heaven? You know, there's things we can do here that they do in heaven. They're going to do in heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, the last part. Thou wast slain, speaking of Christ, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made unto us, made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. They were glorying in the cross of Christ. They're glorying in the blood that was shed. They were rejoicing, they were celebrating, they were praising. We need to look to this Christ and look to this cross. We, and in many ways as a church, have more reason to celebrate than those who are not in churches. You know why? Because we have been authorized to baptize. Those of us who are members of this church, we've been scripturally baptized. We've been truly united with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It was a time of glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come here to partake of the Lord's Supper, and you can't take it unless you've been baptized, unless you've been saved and baptized, once more, as we remember the Lord's death till he come, it is a glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating what he did for us. Let's think about that as we partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to go ahead and read some passages to start off with, as I try to do.